Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So this is chapter 14 of the childhood pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. You can find it. I was asked to read the Bengali of the first verse, and the book that I have is strictly in English, and it doesn't have any of the Bengali verses, so if I can borrow someone's book for just that one verse, and I'll give it back to you after that, because I do have the rest of the material that I have to read from. Yeah, that'd be fine. So I'll begin with the introduction. Sorry to keep you waiting. Lord Chaitanya's Childhood Pastimes, Chapter 14. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur has given a summary of this chapter in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. In the 14th chapter, there is a description of how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed his childhood pastimes, crawling, crying, eating dirt, and giving intelligence to his mother, favoring a Brahmin guest, riding on the shoulders of two thieves, and misleading them to his own house, and on the plea of being diseased, taking prasadam in the house of Hiranya and Jagadish on the Ekadasi day. The chapter further describes how he displayed himself to her on his head, how he joked with girls of the same age on the banks of the Ganges, how he accepted worshipful paraphernalia from Srimati Lakshmi Devi, how he sat down in a garbage pit and instructed his mother in transcendental knowledge, how he left the pit on the order of his mother, and how he dealt with his father with full affection. Text number one. Katanchana smrte yasmin duskaram sukaram bhave visprate viparitam syat Shri Chaitanyam namamitam Katanchana smrte yasmin Duskaram sukaram bhave. Vismrte vipartam syat. Shri Chaitanyam namamitam. Please chant. Vaishnavis, Marajis. Okay. Text number one. Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. So there's the purport now. In his book, Chaitanya Chandramrita, Srila Prabodhananda Sarasvati says, one who receives a little favor from the Lord becomes so exalted that he does not care even for liberation, which is sought after by many great scholars and philosophers. Similarly, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya considers residence in the heavenly planets a will-o'-the-wisp. So how many know the definition of a will-o'-the-wisp? Raise your hand if you know. Okay, you got one there? Okay, would you like to give the definition, please? Like what? Okay, but give me a synonym for a will-o'-the-wisp. In other words, if you have to explain it in it. I'm sorry, go ahead. Well, that's sort of, yeah, it's on the right track. It's something which is deceptive. That's the meaning there. It's deceptive. You think something that is something, but it's really not, as you were mentioning. Okay, continuing on. Yeah, I understand. He surpasses the perfection of mystic yoga power because for him, the senses are like snakes with broken fangs. A snake is a very fearful and dangerous animal because of his poisoned fangs. But if these fangs are broken, the appearance of a snake is no cause for fear. The yoga principles are meant to control the senses, but there is no scope for the senses of one engaged in the service of the Lord to be dangerous like snakes. That's because they're always engaged in the loving service of Krishna. And if one is engaging them in the loving service of Krishna and has this thought in mind, this is for you, my Lord, may you be pleased to accept this. And if Krishna is accepting this because of this attitude of surrender, submissiveness, then the devotee receives from the Supreme Lord the Lord's affection and appreciation and gratitude. And that comes as a form of love that he feels in the heart. So, therefore, when one feels such pleasure within, there is no need to go searching outside. One rather continues what he's doing, which is generating this pleasure within. As it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme Lord. So that's why there's no need for the person who's engaged in pure devotional loving service to the Lord. He's not diverted and he's not distracted by these things. If, of course, he does not watch his mind, does not watch his senses, does not watch his thoughts, and allows it to begin roaming, what can happen is that the poison returns and the attraction for sense objects disturbs. And that disturbance can lead to preoccupation. These are the gifts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Hari Bhakti Vilas confirms that difficult things become easy to understand if one remembers Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and easy things become very difficult to understand if one forgets him. We actually see that even those who are very great scientists in the eyes of the general public cannot understand the very simple idea that life comes from life, because they do not have the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They defend the false understanding that life comes from matter, although they cannot prove this a fact. Modern civilization, therefore, progressing on the basis of this false scientific theory, is simply creating problems to be solved by the so-called scientists. So their idea is that life doesn't come from life. Life simply comes from matter. It comes from chemicals. There's just a big bang. And the Big Bang of some gases erupted and finally developed into various firmer and harder forms of matter. And all these things just went on randomly without anyone's direction, without anyone's plan, without anyone's idea. They just happened. And so the world just formed in this very logical patterns that we see all over. For example, you see trees, and trees, as we know, at certain times of the year, they give leaves, and they give flowers, and they give fruits, and then at other times of the year, they don't. Everything is going on in a very regulated pattern. The moon can be predicted to where it's going to be within a 30-day cycle. We can predict where the sun will be. We can predict where the different stars will be, planets will be. Everything regulated, everything orderly, everything in a predictable fashion. And it just came, it just happened randomly. It just kind of fell into place like that. Does that make sense? Can anyone with any degree of sense accept such an idea? And that's why Srila Prabhupada mentions that these scientists, because they have no spiritual inclination, no spiritual leaning, do not want to believe in God, rather like to believe that they're God, and they're going to make this discovery to show everyone in the entire world that, yes, we found the true answer. And they're still doing that. And they're going on and on trying to do that so that people will what? They'll glorify them. They'll honor them. They'll celebrate them, glorify them, write about them. This is the only reason these people are on this particular part of the world, the planet, to be thought of as a Lord. So they can never come to the truth with that motivation. That motivation will keep them steadfastly, absorbingly in illusion. And that's what the Prabhupada is mentioning here, is simply creating problems to be solved by these so-called scientists, which they never really do solve. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to describe the pastimes of his appearance as a child, because one cannot write such transcendental literature by mental speculation. One who writes about the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be especially favored by the Lord. Simply by academic qualifications, it is not possible to write such literature. Second verse. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. I have thus described in codes the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared as the son of Mother Sachi, exactly as Krishna appeared as the son of Mother who? Yes, Yashoda. Srila Narottam purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur confirms this statement that now Lord Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, has appeared again as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, becoming the son of Mother Sachi, Vajendra Nandana, Yai Shashi Suta Haila Sai. The son of Sachi is none other than the son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And Nityananda Prabhu is the same Balaram, Balarama Haila Nitai. Verse number 4. I have already briefly spoken about the pastimes of his birth in chronological order. Now I shall enumerate the codes of his childhood pastimes. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the childhood pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord Krishna himself. Although such pastimes appear exactly like those of an ordinary child, they should be understood as various pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, this statement is confirmed as follows. Avajananati mam mudha manushim tanum ashritam parambhavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshvaram, which means, quote, fools deride me when I descend in the human form, Krishna speaking here. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be, unquote. That's from Bhagavad Gita 9:11. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears on this planet or within this universe like an ordinary human being or human child to execute his pastimes, yet he maintains his superiority as the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna appeared as a human child, but his uncommon activities, even in his childhood, like the killing of the demon Putana or lifting of Govardhan Hill, were not the engagements of an ordinary child. Similarly, although the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, as they will be described in this chapter, appear like the activities of a small boy, they are uncommon pastimes, impossible for an ordinary human child to execute. Interesting thing is that many people think that when Lord Chaitanya becomes when Lord Krishna becomes a baby, or Lord Chaitanya becomes a baby, and he speaks like a little baby and acts like a little baby, that he's totally forgotten his omniscience, his omnipotence, and his omnipresence.
as if he is a baby, and that's what Srila Prabhupada is objecting to here. We should never think that because he's in a baby form, that he is no less the Supreme Lord than when he is in a youthful form or mature form. He is always the Supreme Lord, but he is the supreme actor. There is no actor in the world, in any world, that can compare to Lord Sri Krishna. He plays the part of a baby, and everybody thinks he's a baby. He is the source of all great acting. Unfortunately, those people who get Academy Awards and Emmys and Tonys and all these things, they never give any credit to him because he is the source of their talent. So what they say is, I want to thank my mom, I want to thank my dad, I want to thank the producer, I want to thank the director, I want the script writer, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But what about the person who's responsible for letting you open your mouth? The person who's responsible for letting you think? The person who's responsible for enabling you to absorb yourself into that characterization so that it comes out as when Krishna is playing his part, it comes out as if he is a little baby. And nobody even doubts that. In fact, many people think, well, how could he be the Supreme Lord? Wasn't it Lord Brahma who saw Krishna playing with his cowherd boy friends? And he looked at them and he began to have doubts. He saw this charming, delightful, enchanting, huggable little child. How could he, or could he, be my master? He was in a doubt. He was in a quandary. So what happened is that he became overcome by Maya and began to think, well, let me test him. Well, any person who's been placed in charge of creating 8,400,000 species of beings by your master, you suddenly doubt that he's your master? Is it not possible that he can do anything? Is he incapable of the impossible? But Brahma didn't have that idea. He was so enamored by the beauty, by the way Krishna was talking, so charmingly, so quaintly. So therefore he wanted to test. And of course we know the story. He stole the cowherd boys and stole the little calves and so forth. And then at the end of this one, everything became clear to him. He apologized profusely and begged forgiveness and admitted how much he had fallen under the illusory energy. Here he was testing his own master, which you cannot be more offensive to doing. But Krishna is such a great actor. His acting is superb. It's par excellence. And as I was saying just a moment ago, everyone is coming into this world to use the power that Krishna gives them and take full credit for it. That's what this world is for, taking credit. I'm a great this, I'm a great that, I'm important, I'm valuable, I'm great, I'm glorious, I'm applaudable. That's what the people come in. That's why we all came into this world, to taste lordship, to taste what it feels like to be in a master position. And those who get to be a very high master, they're feeling they're in a superior position. And they get pride. And then eventually when they start to descend into a lower position, they become helpless. They become depressed. They become anxious because they're losing their position. Their greatness, their glory is slowly fading. And the great idol is slowly becoming a fallen idol. So this is the problem. So we live in a world of just complete madness. That's what Prabhupada refers to it as. Is that everybody is basically insane. They're all trying to usurp Krishna's position. They're all trying to be a Krishna. And nobody there wants to even remember that there's a God, because if you want to be God or I want to be God, why should I remember that there's somebody else who's better than me? God means the best, the highest, the greatest, the superior. So, of course, why should I give credit to God? Because if I give credit to God, then I'm taking away some of my credit. Doesn't make sense. But that's the kind of world we live in. And it's most, most, you know, unfortunate. Now, if I can find my place, I'll move on to the next point. Anybody following it? You got the place? What? What number am I on? Number 6? Okay, thank you. In his first childhood pastimes, the Lord turned
upside down while lying on his bed, and thus he showed his parents the marks of his lotus feet. Purport. The word uttana is also used to mean lying down on the bed face upwards, or lying down on the bed. In some readings, the word is uttana, which means standing up. In his childhood pastimes, the Lord tried to catch the wall and stand up. But as an ordinary child falls down, so the Lord also fell down and again took to lying on his bed. So again, you know, he plays it, his part, so well. When the Lord tried to walk in his small footprints, the specific marks of Lord Vishnu were visible, namely the flag, thunderbolt, conch shell, disc, and fish. 8. Seeing all these marks, neither his father nor his mother could understand whose footprints they were. Thus struck with wonder, they could not understand how those marks could be possible in their home. But they're just seeing their child as just an ordinary child. And that's perfect for their rasa, because they want to be in the parental position. Parental position means to protect the child, to guide the child, to feed the child, to help the child. So their feeling is how could those marks be there from their little child, who they're seeing as an ordinary child? Jagannath Mishra said, certainly child Krishna is with the Shalagram Shila. Taking his childhood form, he is playing within the room. Purport. When the Shalagram Shila... I want to go on to the next verse, because we have a lot of verses to complete, and this does not conform to what I'm trying to bring out in his childhood pastimes. While Mother Shachi and Jagannath Mishra were talking, the child Nimai woke up and began to cry, and Mother Shachi took him on her lap and allowed him to suck her breast. While Mother Shachi was feeding the child from her breast, she saw on his lotus feet all the marks that were visible on the floor of the room, and she called for Jagannath Mishra. When Jagannath Mishra saw the wonderful marks on the sole of his son, he became very much joyful and privately called for Nilambar Chakravarti. So that's Mother Shachi's father. When Nilambar Chakravarti saw those marks, he smilingly said, quote, formerly I ascertained all this by astrological calculation and noted it in writing. There are 32 bodily marks that symptomize a great personality, and I see all those marks on the body of this child. There are 32 bodily symptoms of a great person. 5 of his bodily parts are large, 5 fine, 7 reddish, 6 raised, 3 small, 3 broad, and 3 grave. So I'm skipping to verse number 16. Those details can be given in the purport. This baby has all the symptoms of Lord Narayan on his palms and soles. He will be able to deliver all 3 worlds. This child will preach the Vaishnav cult and deliver both his maternal and paternal families. Purport. Without Narayan himself, or his bona fide representative, one cannot preach the cult of Vaishnavism or devotional service. When a Vaishnav is born, he delivers both his maternal and paternal families simultaneously. 18. Nilambar is speaking. I propose to perform a name-giving ceremony. We should observe a festival and call for the Brahmins, because today is a very auspicious day. It is the Vedic purport. It is the Vedic principle to observe a festival in connection with Narayan and Brahmins. Giving a child a particular name is among the purificatory processes, which are known as Dasa Vidha Samskara. And on the day of such a ceremony, one should observe a festival by worshipping Narayan and distributing prasad, chiefly among the Brahmins. When Nilambar Chakravarti, Shachi Mata, and Jagannath Mishra, recognizing the marks on the Lord's lotus feet, understood that the child Nimai was not an ordinary child, but an incarnation of Narayan, they decided that on that very same day, which was very auspicious, they should observe a festival for his name-giving ceremony. In this connection, we can particularly see how an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ascertained by his bodily symptoms, his activities, and the prediction of the Shastras. By factual evidence, a person can be accepted as an incarnation of God, not whimsically, or by the votes of rascals and fools. There have been many imitation incarnations in Bengal since the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, but any impartial devotee or learned man can understand that Lord Chaitanya was accepted as an incarnation of Krishna not on the basis of popular votes, but by evidence from the Shastras and bona fide scholars. It was not ordinary men who accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the beginning, his identity was ascertained by learned scholars like Nilambar Chakravarti, and later all his activities were confirmed by the six Goswamis, especially Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami, and many other learned scholars with evidence from the Shastra. An incarnation of God is such from the very beginning of his life. It is not that by performing meditation one can become an incarnation of God all of a sudden. Such false incarnations are meant for fools and rascals, not sane men. So here Srila Prabhupada is giving us a fair warning that we should be careful. People who call themselves incarnations, or sometimes their disciples or devotees, prate them as being incarnations of God. The question that we ask ourselves, number one, is he mentioned in the scriptures? Number two, does he have all of the markings of an incarnation? does his philosophy conform to the philosophies in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, to what God has said, or has he twisted it to fulfill some particular agenda that he has, that he wants to promulgate? 19. In the future, this child will protect and maintain all the world. For this reason, he is to be called Vishvambhara. Purport. The Chaitanya Bhagavat also confirms that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his birth, has made the whole world peaceful, as in the past Narayan protected this earth in his incarnation as Varaha. Because of his protecting and maintaining this world in the present Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vishvambhara, which refers to one who feeds the entire world. The movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was present 500 years ago is again being propagated all over the world, and factually we are seeing its practical results. People are being saved, protected, and maintained by this Hare Krishna movement. Thousands of followers, especially Western youths, are taking part in this Hare Krishna movement, and how safe and happy they feel can be understood from the expressions of gratitude in their hundreds and thousands of letters. The name Vishvambhara is also mentioned in the Atharva Veda Samhita. Vishvambhara, Shvishvena, Ma, Varasa, Pahi, Svaha. Verse 20. After hearing Nilambar Chakravarti's prediction, Shachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra observed the name-giving festival in great joy, imitating all the Brahmins, inviting all the Brahmins and their wives. It is the Vedic system to observe all kinds of festivals, including birthday festivals, marriage festivals, name-giving festivals, and festivals marking the beginning of education by especially inviting Brahmins. In every festival, the Brahmins are to be fed first. And when the Brahmins are pleased, they bless the festival by chanting Vedic mantras or the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. 21. After some days, the Lord began to crawl on his knees, and he caused various wonderful things to be seen. Purport. The Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that one day, while the Lord was crawling upon his knees, the bells on his waist ringing very sweetly, a snake came out to crawl in the yard of the Lord, who captured the snake like a curious child. Immediately, the snake coiled over him. The Lord as a child then rested on the snake, and after some time, the snake went away, leaving aside the Lord. So what is this reminiscent of? Huh? Yeah, Nantashesha. The Lord rests on him. The Lord caused all the ladies to chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on the plea of his crying. And while they chanted, the Lord would smile. I'm going to change my position. Purport. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, this pastime is described as follows. Quote, the Lord, with his beautiful eyes, would cry, but he would stop immediately upon hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When the ladies, understanding the fun of the Lord, discovered that he would cry and then stop upon hearing the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra, they all took it as a clue to chant Hare Krishna as soon as the Lord cried. Thus it became a regular function. The Lord would cry, and the ladies would begin chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, chanting with their, clapping with their hands. In this way, all the ladies of the neighboring houses would assemble in the home of Sachi Mata to join in the Sankirtan movement 24 hours a day. As long as the ladies continued to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Lord would not cry, but very pleasingly smile upon them. So here we hear, or we see, the foreshadowing of the actual mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of his reasons for incarnating was to set in motion the Yuga Dharma of the age of Kali, which is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy name. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. So Lord Chaitanya is speaking like one of us. He's playing the part of one of us, because many of us don't have much attraction due to the impurities that still infest the mind and cover the soul. But as the verse goes on and it comes, we get near the ending, it says, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in this world in your absence. So, from starting out having no attraction to the holy name, he comes to the point that when he cannot see the Lord, even in a picture or in the deity form, he feels empty, that he is completely alone. And in that aloneness, he feels complete misery, because he wants to be close. He wants to be near. He wants to be in spiritual union with the Lord. So we see what is being shown by in the Shikshastika prayers is that it's a gradual progression of starting out with having no attraction. But as we keep chanting it, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it becomes a cure, or it becomes a potion for the cleansing of the mind or cleansing of the soul, the covering is removed, and the result is that slowly, gradually, one begins to experience his natural transcendental bliss, which is, as it's mentioned, we are all natively or inherently lovers of the Lord, but as a result of illusion, as a result of this material energy which has infested us, we then try to become the Lord, and in trying to become the Lord, we try to dominate, we try to oppress, we try to push down, we try to manipulate. These are all symptoms of a person who simply wants to be God and only results in misery and suffering and difficulty, trial, tribulations, and the like.
23. After some days, the Lord began to move his legs and walk. He mixed with other children and exhibited varieties of sports. 24. One day, while the Lord was enjoying his playful sports with the other little children, Mother Shachi brought a dish filled with fused rice and sweetmeats and asked the child to sit down and eat them. But when she returned to her household duties, the child, hiding from his mother, began to eat dirt. Seeing this, Mother Shachi hastily returned, exclaiming, "What is this? What is this?" She snatched the dirt from the hands of the Lord and inquired why he was eating it. Crying, the child inquired from his mother, "Why are you angry? You have always given me dirt to eat. What is my fault?" Fused rice, sweetmeats, or anything edible is all but a transformation of dirt. This is dirt, and that is dirt. Please consider, what is the difference between all this dirt? This body is a transformation of dirt, and the edibles are also a transformation of dirt. Please reflect upon this. You are blaming me without consideration. What can I say? So I'm skipping the next purport, this purport, but I'm going into the middle of it, which is a quote here. Anyone who engages in spiritual devotional service without motivation, selfish motivation, rendering such service for the satisfaction of the Lord, is elevated immediately to the spiritual platform, and all his activities are spiritual. Brahma Bhuyaya refers to Brahman spiritual activities. Although Mayavadi philosophers are very much eager to merge in the Brahman effulgence, they have no Brahman activities. To a certain extent, they recommend Brahman activities, which for them mean engagement in studying the Vedanta and the Sankhya philosophies, but their interpretations are but dry speculation. Lacking the varieties of spiritual activity, they cannot stay for long on that platform of simply studying Vedanta or Sankhya philosophy. Life is meant for varieties of enjoyment. The living entity is by nature full of enjoying spirit, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra 1.1.12. Anandamayo Vyasat. In devotional service, the activities are variegated and full of enjoyment. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9.2, all devotional activities are easy to perform, susukham kartam, and they are eternal and spiritual of yam. Since Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand this, they take it for granted that a devotee's activities, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, pada, sevanam, etc., are all material and are therefore maya. They also consider Krishna's advent in this universe and his activities to be maya. Therefore, because they consider everything maya, they are known as Mayavadis. So let me just like to comment very briefly on this point. So what we have here is that Mother Shachi is basically, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said everything is dirt, everything is one, I'm always eating dirt. Why are you complaining? Why are you blaming me? If I want to eat dirt, what's the difference? If I eat this or I eat grains, that's dirt too. So she
said, no, and as it will come in the next successive verses, is that although every there out of earth may come countless varieties, but they all have different purposes. But you cannot simply say that you can use, as I said, you can use the dirt which comes from the ground and just start eating it just because you have grains and you eat them and they are both made of earth. They are chemically different, though. And as a result, one is useful and helps to nourish the body, and the other will be useless because it will harm the body, since the body is not meant for eating that kind of thing. So the Mayavad philosophies, that their main point is that everything is basically one. And that's what little Nimai is basically saying. It's all one, it's all the same. So if it's the same, what difference does it make? So Mother Shachi, she's saying there's a lot of difference, as I just explained. So their idea is that we're all God. I'm a soul, you're a soul, you're a soul, you're a soul, and we're all souls. And that soul is manifesting from the infinite ocean of light. Okay? So, I'm a little bubble of light, and you're a little bubble of light. So, when the bubbles finally realize that they're in Maya, and they become liberated from the understanding that they have been in Maya, Maya meaning that they are in the material world, and they're thinking that that there's some truth here, that everything going on is true. When a person becomes liberated from that idea and enters back into the what is known as the Brahma Jyoti, then the little bubble, it kind of sinks into the vast ocean of light and becomes God. And that's what the basic Mayavad philosophy is. I'm God, you're God, you're God, you're God, you're God. And it really doesn't matter who you worship because we're all God. You're a bubble of light, you're a bubble of light, you're a bubble of light, we're all bubbles of light. And those bubbles merge into the infinite ocean of light. So we're all God. So if I'm God, you're God, it doesn't matter who you worship. You worship Lord Shiva, you worship Durga, you worship, it doesn't matter. And that's why Srila Prabhupada comes down so very heavily on this idea, because it really is not only is it incorrect, but it leads people not on a positive, not on a developing path, which leads to true, real happiness. Now, when a person enters into this Brahma Jyoti light, the most he can expect from it is peacefulness. But that is incomplete. The completeness is not only peacefulness, but there is knowledge and there is blissfulness. But when one is in what we call the Brahman realization and does not ascend, does not rise from this particular position, then what happens is ultimately he falls down. As it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, those who think they are liberated in this world but are devoid of devotional service to you are of impure intelligence. Although they accept severe austerities and penances and rise to the spiritual position, they fall down again because they neglect to worship your lotus feet. Why do they neglect? Well, if I want to be Lord, why should I worship somebody's feet? I want my feet worshipped. That's the whole idea. You worship me, you glorify me, you honor me, you celebrate me, because I'm the Lord. So this is the madness of that whole Mayavad philosophy. So a person comes back down again to this material world, and it's mentioned also in the purports that a person may come back to the material world, and gradually he may become he may advance somewhat in spiritual life, and he may come to the next level, which is Paramatma realization. And in Paramatma realization, there is not only the peacefulness, but there's also knowledge. Knowledge of who we are, that we are spirit souls, and that we're supposed to venerate and we're supposed to revere, we're supposed to worship the Supreme Lord. So, but that is not complete in itself. There is the third is Bhagavan realization, in which one not only venerates, worships, glorifies, but one learns to please the Supreme Lord, love the Supreme Lord, glorify the Supreme Lord, and serve the Supreme Lord without the sense that I'm even doing anything, without the sense that I'm serving Him, but giving Him His just due because I belong to Him.
If I belong to someone, essentially I'm a slave to that person. He owns me. Therefore, if he owns me, and he does, he controls whether I speak, whether I can see, whether I can hear, whether my heart goes. If he controls me and completely, well, then I owe him. And if he's constantly blessing me, even though I don't deserve to be blessed because I've committed so many offenses, I owe him. So in this understanding, in this mentality, the devotee continues to grow in humility. He grows in modesty. He grows in affection. He grows in gratitude. And all of these things which become very pleasing to the Supreme Lord. And the Lord granting him more and more of himself. As Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. What is the reward? He gives more and more of himself. And the more of himself he gives, the more of his love he gives, his peace he gives, his strength he gives. He gives his guidance. He gives his power. And so, therefore, we receive more and more. That's why everyone is not on an equal level. Some devotees are manifesting more of this spiritual potency than others because the Lord is giving a gift. And that gift is his potency. The gift is his power. The gift is his love. The gift is his kindness, his sweetness. Some devotees may manifest those qualities. Others may not yet, but are on that same path and eventually, hopefully, will. So this is a very important point that is being made, and Srila Prabhupada makes it again and again and again. So I think I'm way over, and I'd like to conclude this class at this time. I'll take one quick question, which will require a quick answer. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. All glories to Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. And my apologies to all of you for keeping you from breakfast.
That's great. Yeah. Well, that's all right. Yeah.